Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Always enjoy getting somebody who's never been at the Straight Talk table before. And lo and behold, we've got the brand spanking new county manager of York County, a guy by the name of Josh Edwards, and he doesn't know what's about to happen here. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here. You know, first times are always memorable, and I count that this will be one of those, and I need to practice my slice in my garden.
That's right.
Here, so I'm getting ready to do that.
It's slice, garden.
Got it.
You'll know when to do it.
I will.
All right.
But great to be here, and thanks for having me.
Listen, I'm glad you're here. So tell the audience a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I've been in local government for 17 plus years. I've been working from Virginia, North Carolina, and Georgia. So I'm a Wake Forest grad, and so I'm an ACC person for all those SEC fans up there. I did not adopt the dogs when I was in Athens, Clark County. But for me, you know, I've got a lot of experience in communities that have been through growth or are going through growth, and I know York County is one of those places. So I've learned a lot about that over the years. I've specialized and got my start in budget offices, so I'm very, very familiar with how budgets work and the importance of the budget when it comes to local government and getting things done. I also spent a lot of time doing strategic planning. And so one of the first things, and I hope we get to talk about this later, Manning, is one of the first things I've been asked to do by the county council is help them develop their first organizational strategic plan, and we've already begun that. So I'm really excited about that and the importance a strategic plan holds in actually implementing a vision for the community. So did a lot of strategic planning in multiple places, worked in town of Cary, North Carolina, as well as the city of Durham, before I went down to Athens, Clark County, which is a unified county.
So, which means what?
Well, most of the mid-sized communities in Georgia have unified counties, which means the city and the county are one.
Huh.
So Augusta Richmond is one organization. Macon Bibb is one organization. Athens Clark County is one organization. So the beauty of that is you have nobody to blame but yourself. You can't blame the city or the county. And so that's the beauty. The con is there was 40 departments, right? So we did a little bit of everything.
Oh,
so
boy.
Think about all the things the nine municipalities offer in York County and everything the county does. Put those all together and you have one big organization. So that's what we did in Athens Clark County. So we had similar size organization in terms of employees and budget because we did a little bit of everything.
Jeez. So with your experience in high growth counties, communities, do you find the issues that your county is dealing with now much different than what you experience in other communities?
No, I think what you see are some of the things that York County is dealing with. We got transportation issues. We got affordable housing issues. We have a lot of people living here but not working here. And so how do we manage that growth? So how do we encourage economic development where people can work where they live? How do we design transportation corridors so people don't have to drive across the county to get what they need, but they have what they need closer to home? You know, how do you create density where density already exists instead of sprawl, which encourages growth? You know, how do you protect land and so that you do hold true to the rural nature of this county and the values in terms of farming that have always been a part of its history?
Which is one of the biggest challenges the county's had as long as I've been here.
That's right.
We're really two different entities. We have a very rural part of our county, and we have a very urbanized part of the county. And those two issues, two communities are clashing on a regular basis.
Right.
I got it.
And that variety brings people here, right? So that's a strength for York County, the fact that you can go out and buy fresh produce, that you can engage and go visit farms, but also live in a suburban community on the other side of the county. So how do you balance that? How do you become something that people want to live at, but also slow down growth so it doesn't change or affect what makes you so strong? And that's the balance in local government, and that's what we're focused on, is trying to make sure what makes York County great doesn't change throughout the population growth, but that's very hard to do.
But you know, with the rapid level of growth that we have here in York County, I sometimes wonder whether all the planning in the world is going to be able to be put in place in time to deal with this massive growth. In other words, we're getting it so much so quickly, you're just not planned to handle it.
Right. So that what you're explaining is the free market,
yeah,
and capitalism, and that does create momentum, and it is something that you have to respect. All the changes in the world can't slow that down, and I would argue, should it? I think that there's a reason that York County has gone through the growth, and what you have to make sure you do is slow it down in the areas where it needs to be slowed down. How do you protect our land, our rural land? How do you create ordinances to make sure that there's opportunity for those who want to live in the rural community, who want to farm, to continue to do that? And that's what we really need to focus on. I think that's something that local government can do and do well, but when you're already experiencing the growth, in theory, it's almost too late. And that's what you're saying. When you already have a lot of traffic, when you already have a high population jump, and housing's already expensive, one would argue that this might need to be something to have focused on 20 years ago.
And then I think about those people who have large tracts of land, who are handing it down from one generation to the next generation. The next generation is not interested at all in farming. They don't want to do that. They just like to cash out and move on. And therein lies a challenge, because the county would like to see that land preserved in one way or another. That's a tough problem.
It is, and you've got to respect property rights as well. So those folks have that opportunity. There's rules in terms of the ordinance that can help. There's always opportunities for preservation, and those are things we're trying to explore and figure out how we can do more of that. You see the opportunity for purchasing more land for parks so we can have passive recreation, and the county's been committed to doing that, and I think we're going to continue to do that, because people want land to recreate on. They want it to spend time with their families on. We need to protect that land before it's all gone.
Well, and as we said on this program before, I mean, the decision by the county several years ago to buy what's known now as Catawba Bend Preserve, almost 2,000 acres of land, 5 miles of waterfront along the Catawba River. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant the way they did it. It's going to take years to get it developed the way everybody'd like to get it developed. It takes an awful lot of money to do that. And we just look at how long it took Anne Springs Close Greenway to get where it is today. That's 20 years, 25 years. So hopefully, maybe in 2025, we'll see somewhat of the beginning of opening the Catawba Bend?
Yes, that's the plan. We're really excited about it. We've got work that, you know, we did a bid for that will be phase one, and I think we just opened those bids recently. And so there's work that's going to be started. Now, it's not going to be complete, but there will be trails for people to enjoy. There will be bathrooms that they can use. And the public will be able to come see this amazing property. Mm-hmm. I think Catawba Bend's a great example of what we need to do more of. Where is that next Catawba Bend? I can't tell you, but we're doing a parks master plan. And that's a really important part of thinking about what land we need to preserve and where. What are those other places in the county that we can purchase to create passive recreation? The Parks Master Plan is being done by Clemson University in collaboration with our Parks and Recreation Department. And that should be done by the middle of this year. That'll give us insight on the things we should focus on. There's a resident survey that's a part of that. We're asking our citizens what they think we should be focused on when it comes to parks, in light of all the parks and programs that the cities in York County do. So how do we work well together? That's another big theme for me, is how do we partner with the municipalities to make sure we're not duplicating efforts, but we're serving citizens together in a way that utilizes their taxes to the best degree possible.
Okay, let's slide into this strategic plan, because that's where all this is headed. If you can get the strategic plan in place, you ought to know exactly where all these pieces fit in. How do you go about doing this? Do you hire somebody to help you? I mean, how's it done?
So a lot of places would hire a strategic plan consultant. I don't tend to be someone who recommends that. I think a strategic plan is best done with the county council and staff. I've done probably five or six complete plans in organizations I've worked in. I do have a strategic planning background, so I'm a little biased. And so I like to be the one that helps facilitate that. What a strategic plan is really county council's vision on paper. And it's a great tool because not only does it communicate their vision to our employees, who I then have to work with to make sure we implement, but it communicates it to the entire community. It's that honest, here's what we're going to go do, opportunity for the for residents to hold us accountable if we don't go do it. So it's not just the high-level goals. It's going to be strategies and initiatives, an action plan that we're going to go do, and residents will be able to see that we do that. Then they'll be able to hold us accountable if we don't. It also gives us an opportunity to use data to show how successful the changes have been. So you might see a public safety goal that maps out all the things we need to focus on related to public safety in the next 3 years. We're going to go do that. We're going to let everybody know how well that worked. Are our response times getting better? Where do we need to put our investment? And how does that tie into the budget? So that's just one example. But for me, the strategic planning process, the means to the end, is just as important as the end. So at the end of it, you get a document. But that document's a living document. And that's what we're going to be working on the next 3 years. So it better be right.
And it also gets seven different personalities that you have to deal with day in and day out to agree this is what we want to do. This is what we want to do for the entire county. Piece by piece by piece, it all comes together under this strategic plan so that when you go to that one piece of the strategic plan and somebody says, whoa, 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 I don't want to do that, you can say, wait a minute, you signed off on this 2 or 3 years ago. What's changed?
It is a prioritization tool, to your point. So we had our first council strategic planning retreat about a week ago. And the goal there was for county council and everybody was there to complete a SWOT. So a strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats about the county. And so that's your building block for a strategic plan, because we got to figure out the things we do well that will help us achieve the goals, the weaknesses in the county that we need to fix the next 3 years, the opportunities around us to leverage the community to help us solve these things, and then the threats around us that are limiting our ability to achieve our goals. Council did an amazing job doing the SWOT, and then they started to summarize the themes and turn them into goal statements. So our council, they're strategic planners. I was impressed, and they really worked hard, all seven of them, to develop the beginnings of a shared vision. And I think that's what you're going to see in the next couple of months, it really come together.
So when you hold these SWOT meetings, I gather they're more effective if they're just done with the council and staff members rather than having the general public piled in there?
Right. So one opportunity to include the public is through resident surveys in between strategic plans. So one of the things we're going to do, so as this develops and it's finalized and county council eventually adopts it, maybe in September at a council meeting, one of the things we're going to do over the next coming years is use the plan itself to receive community engagement. So we're going to talk with the community about how well they think we're achieving the goals. And what we'll try to do in the coming years, and I don't think this has been done before, is to do, I think Rock Hill does this, community surveys. So we're going to engage the entire community through statistically significant surveys, kind of like we're doing for the Parks Master Plan, to ask them how well they think we're doing in implementing the strategic plan. That feedback will then feed into the next strategic plan and help and make it even better. So we'll try to incorporate more community engagement as we move forward.
But this process doesn't end once you have approved the plan, because everything keeps changing. So you have to revisit this plan how often?
So a plan like this you use for check-ins with council. So if we have a retreat, we'll be checking in on how we're doing in terms of implementing the plan. Every year, what you're trying to do is align the plan to help inform the budget process. So one of the things that has always frustrated me over my years in local government is that the budget is an annual process, 1 year at a time. Some communities do a 2 or 3 year budget. That's not typical. So because it's an annual event and process, oftentimes localities think 1 year at a time. Well, we all know you can't achieve and fix sticky problems or challenges 1 year at a time. You've got to have a comprehensive plan in order to deal with the challenges facing your community. And that's a multi-year approach. So the strategic plan is that multi-year approach. And then every year you're figuring out what portion of that plan you can budget in the annual budget. So that plan's got to be complete in time before the budget process starts, which typically is, you know, fall, early winter. And so what we're trying to do is have this version done in time for the budget process. And then in the summertime every year, you check in with the council, because councils change, priorities change, and you make sure that the priorities are still the same and there's no need for major changes. But every 3 years, you do a whole new plan as well. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
So you would expect this first strategic plan to be signed, sealed, and delivered by when?
The goal is we're shooting for is September. So we're going to have what we're doing. We're working with our department directors and their staff in between the council retreats. So I've already had one retreat with our directors and assistant directors. This month, we're working in small groups with directors and their assistant directors to get ideas based on what we heard from county council. So we're having cross-departmental meetings. For example, related to that public safety goal, we're going to have our fire folks there. We're going to have somebody from the sheriff's office. We're going to have somebody from emergency management and and 911, our public safety departments. And we're going to talk about what we heard from council. We're going to brainstorm with them because they're the experts. And we're going to work in their advice, and then we're going to bring that back to county council. So we've got a couple more of those meetings over the next 2 months. So our goal is to be done in September. Sometimes it goes a little longer, so maybe October.
So what about the municipalities? When do you bring them into this process?
I think that's a great point, right? And I've been working hard to meet with my colleagues and counterparts at each of the municipalities. So I've met with York's manager, I've met with Clover's manager, and I've met with Rock Hill's manager, and I'm working my way around the county, and I'm aiming to meet with TK and Fort Mill and the other communities as well. So it's important for me to engage with my fellow managers across the county and learn from them about what their priorities are. I think that once we have this plan, it's a great opportunity for our county council to bring in the other elected officials from around the county and have important conversations about our priorities and their priorities, and to really work hard together where we can. I think that opportunity for collaboration when you have shared priorities is a game changer for our county. So I think that's what we can do with this first strategic plan. Similar to what I said about residents, as we learn about Rock Hill's strategic plan and they learn about ours, as we move towards future plans, just as one example, maybe Fort Mill has a strategic plan too. As we move towards the next plan in 3 years, that's a great opportunity in between to collaborate in new ways with the municipalities to make sure we have shared goals. I think that's when you really start to see us start to fix some of these sticky challenges in our county, is when we have shared goals with the municipalities and we're committed to solving those together.
Yeah, and not to mention improving relationships, which is a key thing that I know all the municipalities in the county would like to see happen. All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. All right, today for his initial inauguration here, he has been trained. He's ready to go. He's a smart guy. Buster is here to join him, along with Councilman Moody here from Fort Mill. We do a special thing here at Substation 2. It's called Fresh Subs and Salads, and we do it 6 days a week. The way we do it is in the white letters, and we all chime it out together. At the count of three, are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food's really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When it comes to matters of the heart, you want someone who understands you. And that's our mission at Piedmont's Heart and Vascular Center. We are the only cardiovascular hospital in York County providing comprehensive care from diagnosis to recovery. Our team includes experienced cardiologists, cardiovascular surgeons, and nurses, all dedicated to keeping your heart healthy. Cardiac care with advanced technology close to home. That's Piedmont Medical Center. Learn more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com.
Stream TV from Comporium is more than just TV. It's accessing all your favorite shows and movies. From here, in there, up there somewhere, here too. We won't tell. It's restarting shows mid-show. It's TV that learns the difference between what you like and what you love. It's what you want, when you want it, where you want it. So yeah, we're more than your internet company. We're your smart TV, just got a whole lot smarter company.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR revert to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140. Or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for the new county manager for your county. His name is Josh Edwards. Nothing like coming into a brand new job and getting a great big issue to deal with. It's amazing how this Silfab solar issue has just morphed into, I think, something much bigger than it really is. There's a tremendous amount of, I believe, misinformation out there about what's going on and what's proposed to be going on there. But the latest release from the county, very detailed release that Greg Suskin put out, pretty well explains that Silfab met all the requirements for the permit. Now, granted, those requirements have changed since they got their approval, but they got it. And so they are moving ahead. But that has not stopped the public input, correct? I mean, you're hearing it from everywhere. Mm-hmm. So where are we going now with this thing?
So I'm all about process. You know, so it's really important to make sure that we all understand the process, that we're listening to each other, that, you know, that residents have the opportunity to provide their feedback and be a part of that process. So the important thing to remember here with Silfab is this has been going on for over 18 months. So this has been going on for some time. The reason why it came back up is because there was an appeal that the ZBA heard, and the ZBA decided to say, I think they voted 5-0, that solar panel manufacturing should not be in light industrial based on their assessment. That assessment, though, and I think this is where the confusion was, and this is what we were trying to clarify in my press release, is that that's into the future, that the ZBA looks into the future, not backwards. And that's very clear in our code if you dig into it. And so we wanted to share that code with our residents who had been asking questions, make sure we clarified. We also wanted to share the timeline that we've been through and what a zoning verification letter means. And so that zoning verification letter came at the end of December 2022. And so Silfab used that verification letter as proof that they could be here and they could get to work here. And they've been following the process and filing the permits as they should since then. So I think that's important for everybody to remember.
Yeah, and they have to file permits for the building changes they're going to make, processes they're going to use, et cetera, et cetera. But that hasn't quieted anybody down. In fact, some of the stuff online this morning was indicating that a lawsuit might be coming, which nobody wants to see happen. But I am reminded that there was a similar issue like this several years ago, long before you came here, regarding a proposed 7-Eleven convenience store along the Fort Mill bypass near a couple of schools. And there was a lot of excitement about gas fumes and the impact it would have on students and da-da-da-da-da. It went on and on. It just mushroomed into something much more than it was supposed to be. As it ended up, 7-Eleven is there. They're pumping gas, serving Diet Cokes, and all the students are playing soccer and everybody's fine. I'm not trying to say that the issues that people have are not real, but I'm not sure that they're really able to comprehend the facts because they've worked themselves up into such a frenzy.
Yeah, part of local government's role is to help convene and answer questions, right? So there's questions that relate to the county's work on this, and we're working really hard to answer those questions. We're going to try to have an FAQ updated out on our website soon that talks a lot about the zoning questions we're receiving. We're receiving a lot of questions in terms of the environmental impact from residents and what these chemicals are and what it all means in terms of hazard mitigation. So we're working hard to share those questions with DHEC and with SILFAB. And so it's important to remember that DHEC and the EPA are the regulatory authorities on that. So we're working with them. They're working with SILFAB, and we're going to work hard to all coordinate together. And I think something for us to do in terms of a county, though, is to help share those questions we're receiving with SILFAB and those regulatory authorities and try to get the community answers. So we're doing that. We're going to do our best on that. So please know that we appreciate your emails, we appreciate your questions, and we're going to try to answer them as best as we can, even though in a lot of the cases we're not the experts in that, but we're going to find the experts.
Yeah, it would seem to me that DHEC would play a key role in all this. You know, I don't think the people are interested in hearing from SILFAB Solar. They're not interested in hearing from county council members. They want to hear, if they're going to pay attention to anything, it would be through an independent group called DHEC,
which is the regulatory authority. So I agree.
So is it possible to just put them out there and say, here, you answer the questions?
So in the past year and a half, DHEC has had a meeting and they have presented to the community. So that's been done once before. But I do agree that a lot of these questions are ones that DHEC would have to answer. So again, we're trying to be the role of the convener. We're trying to pull these folks together and help get questions, some of these questions answered for our community. So know that we're doing that. We're focused on it, and we'll continue to do that.
So what happens now? We just wait for more answers?
So I know, you know, a lot of folks found this out Friday. So SILFAB decided to appeal the ZBA's ruling. And so I'm not a lawyer, but I think what happens next is there's going to be a mediation between SILFAB and the ZBA. When that's scheduled, I don't know, but that's the next step. So somebody has decided to appeal the ZBA's ruling, and that first step is a potential mediation. From there, I think that process continues to play itself out, which is what I've consistently said this whole time, is there's a process. That process is going to play out. People have an opportunity to share their feedback. But that process continues. It started a year and a half ago, and it's still going on. And that's what you're going to continue to hear from the county, is we're trying to allow that process to go through.
Very interesting. You're not a lawyer, and I'm not a lawyer. I'm not trying to play lawyer. But that's an interesting move to try to appeal what the ZBA ruled, even though it doesn't really have any bearing on their permit that they have to go ahead and move forward. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Well, you know what? We just about wrapped up the program. Aren't you glad?
It's been great joining you. You know, this has been a good first time. I hope there's many more.
Well, you had an opportunity to do slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. You're going to get to do that one more time. And we brought in the big hitters. See, we have State Representative Randy Ligon down. We got Buster here. We got a whole crowd. We're ready to go. We want to remind you, you have been listening to Straight Talk Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, one more time for all those newbies into the community that do not know the magic of what goes on here at Substation 2. It's here in the white letters. It's called Fresh Subs and Salads. We do it 6 days a week, and you too can participate. Just read the white letters out loud. Are we ready? The count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.